The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this December 19th, 2025. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on a gorgeous Friday afternoon here in the Auburn Opelika area. Sun is shining. Tons to get to on a free-for-all Friday as we get closer to the Christmas holiday. Christian, happy Friday, sir. How are you on this free-for-all Friday?
Man, I'm doing good. I'm happy to be able to be back on the airwaves. You mentioned it, a whole lot of news that we got to get to. We're covering all things college basketball, all things college football, both on the Auburn side of things and on the college football playoff. We'll have an hour-long college football playoff discussion in hour number two. Really looking forward to a really, really good show today. And college bowl season is underway. We had some games already earlier this afternoon or this morning. My Hootie Hoos didn't necessarily show up. Might still be in Kennesaw, Georgia. NC State and Memphis doing battle right now. And you never know. We might have a surprise segment later on in the show for about 3 minutes.
Oh, dear. We'll see how we're feeling. We're going to have our man Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports join us here in just a couple of minutes. Breaking news in the local high school football landscape. Head coach Brian Moore of Opelika is no more. He resigned today. And there is some more news that could come out about that. Nothing official yet. There's some rumblings that others could be joining him somewhere else. And so the news, at least that is official right now, is Opelika's head football coach Brian Moore has resigned from his position after just 2 years there for the Bulldogs. So pretty crazy news on a random Friday afternoon in December.
Yeah, especially for everything that that team was able to accomplish this year.
I mean, state runner-up in 7A. I mean, beating Auburn in the state semis to get there. So we'll see what that turns into, right? But, I think he's an excellent coach. I think he's done great things at Opelika, but best of luck to him. And, again, there are some rumblings about him taking a different job, and maybe that is true. Maybe it's not. We'll see what happens there. But, Opelika is now on the clock, as they say, looking for a new head coach. And, look, it's a prominent job. I mean, it's a place that you are beloved if you're good and if you do the things you're supposed to do and you've got the facilities, they get talent, they're 7A, they're the best region in the state. I mean, it doesn't get better than a job like that here in Opelika. So, we'll see what happens there. But breaking news in the high school world, so wanted to touch on that. But, yeah, tons of stuff going on today's show.
Yeah, we're about to get our guy Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports with us on the phone lines to start hour number one, as we do every single Friday. I believe this will be one of the final times we hear from him before the Super Bowl. And so, obviously, that's a really fun weekend where he picks the Gatorade colors and picks the halftime opening song, everything that you can imagine. But wanted his thoughts one more time on the college football playoff on the opening rounds here coming up tonight and tomorrow. Obviously, the quarterfinals, the semifinals, everything in there as well. We'll also talk a little bit of news on the Auburn transfer portal side of things and how We have a little bit of information on why it may be a little bit clearer on why there are some surprising names for the Tigers that are planning on entering their name into the transfer portal. Some news that has been released by a couple different people that, again, explains just a little bit and why we don't think it's time to panic quite yet. We'll also talk Auburn basketball against Purdue coming up tomorrow. There's other great games in college basketball this weekend as well. Unfortunately, overshadowed a little bit by the college football playoff. But if you have three or four TVs in your house, I mean, every single one of them is going to be used, and maybe a little Thursday night football conversation and previewing the NFL weekend there as well.
Yeah, so there's a lot to get to, and we start the Friday show as we have every Friday through football season. Been a couple of weeks since we talked to Lee Sterling. I believe it was before the Iron Bowl, before Rivalry Weekend, and heard you say this, Christian. The last time we'll talk to him before the Super Bowl, we got our man Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com on the phone lines. Now, Lee, how are you, sir? We're getting closer to the holidays. Are you wrapped up with all the Christmas shopping over there?
I got it all done. What I do is I hand my wife my credit card, and she does all the shopping. That's how it works here.
That's right.
Easy for you, right? I mean, that's the true definition of when the kids open the gifts. They're as surprised as you are with everything that they got.
I tell her usually right before they open the gifts, I said, what did we get the kids?
I love it.
She fills me in.
I love it. Well, hey, it's a busy time of year in terms of the holidays and families and such, but it's also a busy time of year for college football, and that's what we have you on to talk about today. A couple of games outside of the college football playoff, but then, of course, we'll pick some of the big ones for the CFP as well. And is there a couple that you want to start with outside of the college football playoff before we get to some of those big ones?
Let's go with the five that I sent you. I think we got five real good ones that are going to interest the listeners today.
Yeah, I think so. And so we will get to those again. Bowl season is happening as we speak. We've got Memphis and NC State going on right now. But your list that you want to pick today for games that you find interesting that you want to talk about, we'll start with Texas and Michigan. The Longhorns about 7.5-point favorites. This game taking place in Orlando at Camping World Stadium. All sorts of drama around Michigan and Ann Arbor. Your thoughts on the Longhorns and Michigan going at it there in Orlando?
So if this game was played maybe a month ago, I think we see a line of like Texas -3.5. Why do I say that? I mean, Texas beats A&M, and their value goes up. Michigan, they lose to Ohio State, and they just couldn't quite match up talent-wise with Ohio State. So no shame, but now, you know, I think people are overblowing the fact that, you know, the Michigan coach is gone. That happened a couple weeks ago. I think they'll settle in. They know how to prepare for a bowl. They won the bowl game last year against Alabama, and it wasn't even close. They had a big, big lead to start the game. And Texas looks like might be without five or six starting defensive players that are going to hit either the portal or they're going to enter the draft. So I think this is a great – if you like underdogs in the college bowl games, if you're betting a dog, put 25 to 33% of your wager also on the money line. You're going to see some huge underdogs win the game outright here. So I think Michigan, this is going to be back and forth here. I am winning this game outright here, 27-20. Take Michigan plus the 7.5.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't hate it whatsoever. A bowl game that if I were to tell you this was the game that people were going to be watching on ESPN on December 27th, nobody would have believed me. If it was Garrett Nussmeier and Connor Wegman, and if I would have told you, pick the better quarterback at the beginning of the year, you would have told me that I was crazy that there's even a discussion. But Connor Wegman, the quarterback for the Houston Cougars, has a better year than Garrett Nussmeier. It'll be Michael Van Buren that goes again, I believe, for the Tigers. And the Cougars at 9-3, favored by what was 1.5 to start, now favored by a field goal. Do you like the Cougars or do you like the Tigers from the SEC?
Well, I think that the Cougars are going to be excited about playing this game. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of fans at this game. Here's what shocked me more than anything. I think that so many players for LSU decided to play in the game, even some guys that are going to hit the transfer portal. So almost everyone's going to play, even the guys that are going to be leaving. The guys that are staying, I think they want to, you know, show their coach Lane Kiffin what they can do. I think their defense is just a cut above what Houston's faced, and I think they're going to suffocate them there. And their offense hadn't been good, but even their players going to hit on some big plays here. So I think they've settled in just a little bit here, and I think you're going to see the best version of LSU. Sometimes you look to an underdog in this situation. I think it's just clear, different level of talent. I like LSU outright, another underdog. I think they win this game here, 31-24.
How about that? Couple of wrong teams favored by our man Lee Sterling at ParamountSports.com, who we've got on the phone lines now on ESPN 106.7. And while those games are fun, they're exciting. Bowl season still dramatic for some. The college football playoff is what everybody will be talking about, and we're going to get to tonight's game to wrap up our conversation, but two of them that you want to talk about, you sure you don't want to pick James Madison, Oregon? We can if you want to.
We'll pass on that one.
I don't blame you on that. Tulane and Ole Miss. It's a rematch from the regular season, but of course a lot of things have changed with Lane Kiffin now in Baton Rouge. Ole Miss is being coached by Pete Golding. You've got Tulane and John Summerall, who apparently is wearing two hats, and maybe he's successful at doing so. About 17 and a half here, Lee. What do you think on Tulane and Ole Miss?
So they played in the first game this year, and, you know, Jake Retzlaff, the quarterback for Tulane, he'd only been there a little more than 5 weeks, and it was by far his worst game, 5-17. It was close for a while. The fourth quarter, Ole Miss, they scored nearly half their points, 22 of their 45 in the fourth quarter. So I think there's a lot of distractions. I mean, you got the quarterback here, Trinidad Chambliss. You know, he's talking about leaving. I mean, you don't do that before a playoff game. If you do it, wait until after the season's over. And I think that Tulane's going to slow down the game, not snap the ball with 15, 20 seconds to go. They want to have just 8 or 9 possessions as opposed to, I think it was 13 in the first game. And I think they're going to come up with a game plan showing Ole Miss some different looks here. So, you know, they're down a bunch of coaches here. I know John Summerall split his time between the Florida and also the Tulane program, getting ready for this game and recruiting for Florida. But I think Tulane, you know, the rematch here, I think they're going to pull out a couple different wrinkles, maybe a trick play or two. I think Ole Miss wins 31-23. I'm taking Tulane plus some points.
Lee, are you a true believer, as we have two rematches in the first weekend here in the college football playoff, are you a true believer that it is very difficult to beat a team twice?
I don't think it's tough these days as you would think it is, because bottom line is I always felt when I played a team twice, like in the playoffs, I can do it again. I was more fearful of a team that had my number.
Sure.
So that's the way I look at it.
Not a bad way to think about it at all. We've had discussions on that, and I think we're kind of in the same boat of, man, do what you did that worked the first time until they find ways to stop you. But coordinators sometimes make it too easy for the other team by planning on adjustments already being made, and that's what makes it even more confusing. The 11 o'clock game on Saturday, Texas A&M and Miami, a little bit of drama with Miami making it to the college football playoff, although not being the true ACC representative with the conference champion. However, they are 10-2, the 10 seed. They go to College Station in Kyle Field in what would have been one of the best atmospheres of the entire weekend. It still could be good, but 11 o'clock you feel like favors the Hurricanes just a little bit. Carson Beck, known for throwing the ball to the other team in some of these big-time games. Marcel Reed, Mario Craver already signed contracts, which is wild enough to say, but for the 2026 season for Texas A&M, A&M by a field goal. Do we like the Aggies at home, or can Carson Beck and Mario Cristobal get over the hump and get the upset on the road?
You know, I just think that things have changed so much since that first game they played in 2022. The quarterback from Miami in that game, Tyler Van Dyke. Can you believe that? They probably would have been better off with a 100-year-old Dick Van Dyke quarterbacking them. They had numerous delay of games, illegal procedures. They had trouble getting the ball, the calls in. But, you know, what's changed here? Carson Beck is now the quarterback. This is a guy that's won a national title. You know, he's won at Tennessee. He's won at Texas here. The moment's not going to be too big for him. And let's look at Texas A&M. Before the Texas game, their SEC schedule prior to losing to Texas, a combined 11-40 here. So I think Miami's poised to win this game. They're also plus 9 in turnover ratio. A&M minus 7 on the year. I like Miami. Wrong team favorite. I think Miami wins this game 24-23, and they move on to play New Year's Eve in a rematch of the 2002 National Championship game against Ohio State.
Not our guy Lee Sterling, who's in Miami picking Miami.
So here's what's interesting. When they played in 2022, I hadn't done a show yet. I predicted A&M would win by 6, and they did. Last time they played, 23, I said Miami's going to win by a touchdown, 27-20. They had a couple touchdowns late. They were trying to just, get a first down. A guy went for a touchdown. So we'll see. I'm 2-for-2. Let's see if I can pull off the trifecta.
It should be a good one tomorrow morning to start the day of college football. But tonight is when the college football playoff begins, and another rematch in the SEC. Oklahoma went to Tuscaloosa this year and got a win by a couple of points, and now they get to return the favor as they're in Norman hosting the Alabama Crimson Tide. And Bama favored by about a point. I've seen this line move all week long, Lee. Your thoughts on the game, the spread, and who wins and why?
So, it's back and forth. And what's happened the last probably 24 hours, huge money has come in on Oklahoma. And maybe justifiably so. Why do I say that? Well, they're playing at home. I do believe they have by far the much better defense. And if it comes down to special teams, huge edge here. Tate Sandell, 23-for-24 on his field goals this year, 7-for-7 from 50-plus. Alabama, their kickers, 13-for-20, not one field goal for more than 50 yards here. The crowd is going to be crazy. I know Bama has a couple players coming back who were injured, but I think they've lost their mojo. Their offensive line has allowed 10 sacks over the last three games here. Right now, the right team is favored. Oklahoma moves on. Oklahoma 24-20 over Alabama.
You're making friends here on the Plains, Lee, picking against the Alabama Crimson Tide. It should be a lot of fun in bowl season. You've got one game, though, coming up this weekend in the professional side of things that you want to give people who give you a call right now.
Yeah, all they need to do, you want to get this free game, the Saints and the Jets. Taking place on Sunday. I know it's not a high-profile game, but I think there's an easy, easy winner here on this game. Just call 800-400-9741. First 10 callers, we're going to give it to them for free. 800-400-9741. If you want to hop on board at 13 out of 15 winning weeks in the football, college football, and the NFL, all the specials for the bowl season up and available, one place. ParamountSports.com.
Lee Sterling, he's the best in the business. We appreciate you taking the time here before Christmas to join us and talk about it. Hopefully people come and check you out and spend their holidays and maybe pay themselves back a little bit for those Christmas gifts.
True.
And that's the way you can do it. Lee, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you, my friend. We will talk to you the Friday before the Super Bowl here in Auburn.
Sounds like a plan. Everyone take care and be safe.
Thanks so much. Lee Sterling, check him out, ParamountSports.com. You can give him a call as well. He's giving you the Saints and the Jets on him. A couple of wrong teams favored before the college football playoffs, Christian, but he likes Ole Miss to win, but Tulane to cover. He likes Alabama to get upset technically, maybe, depending on when and where you look, right? But he thinks Oklahoma wins. That line and spread has flipped, I think, every day that I've looked at it.
It'll flip two more times before the game starts tonight. I mean, right now, it's back to – no, because it started as Alabama, a point-and-a-half favorite. Now it's OU, a point-and-a-half favorite. But, yeah, this morning it was Alabama by a point. And so this could be one of those true – you don't see it very often, but – where it literally just says pick 'em.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. And you know, you and I were talking the other day about Oklahoma being a 2.5-3-point favorite, and it's like, well, home field advantage, right? Sure. I mean, you just never know. So that one should be a good game tonight. We're going to make our picks coming up in hour number two for the college football playoff. We're going to pick all the games for this weekend, but we're also going to fill out our college football playoff bracket and make some predictions there as well. We'll have fun with that, but we need to get to our first break here on the Free for All Friday edition of On the Line. Phone lines are open the rest of the way, so if you want to be a part of the show, you have thoughts, you have picks, or anything on your mind on this gorgeous Friday afternoon, give us a call right now. 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390. Or you could shoot us a text with your picks and your predictions or anything else on your mind in our on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. We're back right after this to talk more transfer portal news for Auburn, and fans are not happy about it. That's coming up next.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
We are back here on the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Thanks to Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com for kicking the show off with us today, making his picks for the college football playoff, also a couple of bowl games in there as well. And we'll talk about those games in a little bit later on today's show. And phone lines are open if you want to come in and have a conversation. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. And some more transfer portal news today, Christian, for Auburn football.
No way.
I know. It's so crazy. Fans are starting to get a little restless with the new Auburn staff, and understandably so, especially on the defensive side. A name that we did not really talk about that has announced his intent to enter the transfer portal, and a name that we did talk about.
Yesterday.
And we prefaced it by saying, don't take the word of somebody on their Instagram live.
Yeah, we did give guardrails.
We did. We gave the bumpers, right, to make sure that just in case something doesn't go the way they said it would go, don't be surprised. And that is the case. So the first one is Jamonta Waller, who has decided to enter his name into the transfer portal defensively for Auburn. One that, I mean, It stinks because I think the potential was definitely there. You just didn't really know what this situation was going to be, right? So he announced his intentions to enter the transfer portal, and then it hit. Amaris Williams, a guy that we literally talked about yesterday, who had said on social media that he was an Auburn Tiger and wanted to be here and yada, 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 but clearly something changed. Clearly something happened, and he changed his mind, and Amaris Williams has now made his announcement that he plans on entering his name in the transfer portal. And so that one is one that has impacted a lot of things. That is one that has some Auburn fans up in arms right now, Christian. What are you doing? What are you doing?
Just trying to pull up a ringtone.
Oh, phone call. Okay.
But the two that
ring, 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 ring?
Sure.
Progresso. Yeah.
No, that one worked, but
do you get that reference? You remember the Progresso commercials back in the day? The soup?
There you go. No.
It's like, ring, 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 Progresso. And they were calling, like, because they were hungry. You're not, dude, shut up. Somebody out there knows what I'm talking about. The old Progresso soup commercials.
Nope.
Whatever.
But that was probably better than mine. I tried pulling up a ringtone and turning on my ringer, and of course the two random ones that I clicked on were the most quiet, peaceful alarm wake-ups ever and didn't play out to how I was hoping, but that's exactly what happened. Or a little bit of news that we'll talk about. Just, again, made it to where it either frustrated a couple people or they felt that in today's day and age, stats shouldn't necessarily matter, and I should be able to make dollar signs and make monies from my name alone, and that should be good enough. But Auburn is not going that route anymore.
No, yeah, it's not what it seems like. And It's so hard to get a read on what is going on right now because I get it. Fans are upset.
And people are not calling out DJ Durkin, but it was almost this is the guy you wanted to retain as your DC because of the ability to retain all of your defensive players. We'll look at it now. That's what. There were 18, now 20 players and 9 defensively. Not saying that that is all fair or accurate, but you've at least seen that on social media, which is something that when DJ Durkin was retained, you didn't think would be any sort of comments from any of the fan base.
No, and I do want to remind people that DJ Durkin was not retained for the sole reason of retaining the roster.
Correct. If you do that, that's a losing mentality.
Yeah, that's stupid. I mean, that's you're trying to save the next season but not prepare for the future. That's not why. That was a part of it. That was part of the equation to keep DJ Durkin.
That was the hope.
Yeah, I mean, that was the immediate hope is, okay, I understand that DJ Durkin gives me, Alex Golish, the best chance to retain this current roster of the talent that's on the defensive side of the football, sure, but your main goals were knowing that he's a damn good defensive coordinator, one of the best in the country, and that's why he was retained. The hope was, yes, that he could retain a lot of this talent, and it's not happening right now. And Amaris Williams leaving is a big deal. There's a reason fans were excited when they thought he was returning. Now, I want to preface this again. Just because they have made an announcement on planning on entering does not mean that they will. There's a pretty good chance that they will. But things can change between now and January 2nd. That's about, 16, 17 days, something like that? Things can change. Maybe not that many, but it's an ever-changing world.
You can't necessarily get mad about players anymore. We'll talk about the Auburn way of going about it. But 5-7, 6-7, and 5-7 over the last 3 years. You're going to have to be okay with change.
I trust DJ Durkin. That's my thoughts. We're back after this with more. We'll talk some college basketball.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into the free-for-all Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us. And we're going to flip to basketball here in just a moment because Auburn preparing to take on Purdue tomorrow early evening in downtown Indianapolis. And we'll talk about that plus some of the other good games going on this weekend around the basketball world. But we did want to continue on football for just a moment with the transfer portal and NIL and things for Auburn in particular, right? Because two more planned entries today were announced with Jamonta Waller and then Amaris Williams, two more defensive guys, which I'll say it, this is more defensive players that have announced their plan to enter than I thought there would be, just being openly honest here. That's more than I thought it would be, especially with the retention of DJ Durkin, which we talked about in the previous segment. But it seems like, Christian, and we got a text that I want to get to as well, and the phone lines are open, 334-321-1390 if you've got thoughts on any of this. Someone texted and asked if the $30 million that Auburn reportedly is putting towards the roster was just for 2026, if that was a long-term plan, and asked if it could just be used to build another Jumbotron at this point. The answer is yes, it is for the 2026 roster. Now, that is a reported number. That is not a finalized number, okay? It's around $25 to $30 million is what the reports are talking about, that they plan to give Alex Golish for his 2026 roster. But a report came out today by Justin Hokanson with Auburn on 3, and it's a fascinating article.
It is.
Talking about how Auburn is trying to basically carve their own path, make their own way, and possibly change the direction of how NIL is paid out in college sports. And it's something that you and I, and a lot of other people too, have been talking about for quite some time.
It's what NIL was supposed to be with guardrails, I guess you could say. Auburn is basically limiting its front-loaded deals of the unproven this is my name, this is what I did in high school, this is why you should pay me this much. They're kind of not getting rid of those, but they are having fewer NIL front-loaded deals. There's a lot more incentives that are going to be going on based off of performance, based off of production, based off of stats. And there's also going to be stricter evaluations and valuations about these players. And Hockenson tweets out and says, there might be growing pains, but the goal is long-term stability, a healthier locker room, and a culture shift. And before reading all of that, talking about, okay, well, there's two ways that this can go for Auburn. And you've already kind of been in that position with the recruiting side of things earlier in the year with John Cohen and Hugh Freeze saying that we're going to do things the right way. We're going to wait until there's confirmation. We're going to wait until there's clarity on all of the new rules. And you don't necessarily want to just say they were straight up wrong about it, because there were a bunch of different ways that it was looked at and a bunch of different ways that the rule did and did not come out. But this right here, you hope can be a good thing, but man, it's two polar opposite ways that this strategy is going to go, because you're now possibly going to have fewer guys that have the mentality of, okay, well, I want to come here because you're going to pay me, but then you can offer, okay, well, in year two, if you have a great freshman year and these are the stats that you put up, you have the ability to make that much more.
And I think when you look at it this way, again, it comes off to me that Alex Golish, his staff, and I think in conjunction with John Cohen, have come together and said, whatever we've been doing here has not worked.
Yeah.
Right? Clearly, the coaches have not been right between Brian Harsin and Hugh Freeze. Those were obviously major issues, but this tells me that they believe it was more than that.
Which is usually the case. If there
Correct.
Is if there is one thing that's wrong, it's there's very few times when you can change one test subject and everything be completely fixed, right?
Now, this being the head coach is a big one to change.
Sure, but
you're right.
A football program is not a string of Christmas tree lights, right? To where if that one light doesn't work, you can take it off and twist it and fix it out, and then all of a sudden the circuit works perfectly fine again. There's a lot of things that go into all of this, and if there is frustration, again, you look at the record over the last 3 years. 5-7, 6-7, 5-7. Regardless of whoever the head coach is, there's got to be some sort of change, because whatever's been going on right now has not been working.
Simple enough, in putting this in layman's terms here, Auburn is changing their direction on how they want to do NIL. Again, a report from Justin Hockenson today says that Auburn is resetting how it approaches NIL. Fewer front-loaded deals, more production-based incentives, and stricter valuations. Valuations meaning what you're worth.
Yeah.
What your NIL dollar is, right? And what this is to me, this is the Indiana model. Go look at the Hoosiers. Go look at their roster. You know how many 5-stars they have, Christian? Zero. They have 0 5-stars, 7 4-stars, and the rest are 3 and under. But they went and got guys that they believed in, guys that were proven, and guys that they knew could win. And now they're the number one seed in the college football play. Kurt Cignetti's a pretty darn good coach, and he's got good coordinators too, which that's a discussion I don't know if we had that on the air or not, but the idea that they just locked down both of their coordinators for years to come, which is rare today in college football. But this is basically Auburn coming out and saying, we're not paying a 5-star recruit $1 million anymore because 247 says you're good at football, or On3, or Rivals, or whoever. Auburn has come out and said, we are going to do this our way, not how the system, or what's the word I'm looking for, how the trend tells us to do it, I guess, right?
Yeah, the new college football narrative.
Yeah, yeah, maybe that's the word. Maybe that's what I'm looking for.
They're taking much more, and when you say this team in the same sentence as NIL or any sort of conversation like this, it draws a little bit of frustration, but Auburn is taking a little bit more of a Clemson route, right? Auburn is taking a little bit more of the way that Dabo Swinney and his staff wants to run things with NIL of, we're not going to pay you $1.5 million to go make six tackles on the year. However, we will pay for incentives. We will give you boosts, and we will do things based off of wins, based off of what you're able to do, but also based off of what the team is able to do, which was not to the extreme of what we thought it would be, but this is a little bit more the route that NIL was supposed to go.
Yeah. Eric texted in and said, I get it, but it's so frustrating. Says the only program trying to follow a set of rules that we clearly misinterpreted and now trying to be the front line to change the system.
Completely understands.
He says, we're trying to be the A's when everyone else is the Dodgers.
Sure.
And I totally understand.
Completely understand, which is why this is going to be one of two polar opposite ways. This is either going to work, and 2 or 3 years down the road, Auburn's going to be able to get the very best of the best players in college football because they realize, okay, look, let's go hit the transfer portal on a couple of the guys that we need to, that we know are going to be able to produce, and we basically give them an uncapped version of NIL based off of what they're able to do, and you can sell that competitive nature of, well, rather than capping you out at $750K or whatever the case may be, you have the chance of making this or this or this based off of touchdowns, based off of yardage, based off of wins, right? There's so many different ways that you can think about it. That being said, how much harder is that going to make the high school recruiting? How much difficult or how much more difficult is that going to make being able to keep guys like you're seeing right now once this information was released? Because a lot of these guys were the ones that didn't put up the big-time numbers on the defensive side of the football. They had the preparation, they had the projection to be able to do so, but it was much more of the excitement growing for the 2026 season or the 2027 season. If the guys leaving right now are because of this information that's being released, it's because they want to follow the norm of college football, whether that's for better or for worse, of them going and basically getting a lockdown guaranteed contract rather than having to play for incentives.
And given what Alex Golish said the day he was hired here, that we're going to win and we're going to win right now, that is why he's doing this.
Yes.
That is why some of these guys are leaving. Amaris Williams is a perfect example. Somebody who, let's be real, he probably thought he was fine. When the season ended, he probably thought he was coming back because he thought he was good. He thought the deal in place, he was going to get paid, he was happy here, whatever. And this is me speculating here, but it very easily could have been, yeah, I'm good, I'm coming back, I like it here, I'm getting paid. And then it was, oh, I just met with coach and sounds like they're changing things up. Maybe I should go check out somewhere else where, you know what I mean? And so with Golish wanting to win and win right now, yeah, as Hoke says in his tweet, there will be some growing pains. There's no doubt about it. And Auburn's going to have some holes, but the idea is to help yourself now and also long term. But my fear here is this is great on paper.
Yes.
This is great on paper for Auburn. Again, fewer front-loaded deals, more production-based incentives, and stricter valuations is what Auburn is trying to do and changing its approach on how they handle NIL. That's great. The problem with stuff like this and the reason that it has gotten so out of control is like what Eric said in Major League Baseball, there are a couple of teams who just don't care. They don't care about that. They pay to compete. They will pay the money. They'll shell it out. Ohio State could give a crap less about what Auburn does with its NIL. Oh, that's cute. You're going to pay him for his production? That's adorable. We're going to pay him because he's good. We're going to pay him twice that.
Out of high school.
Out of high school because we can.
Yeah.
And what are you going to do about it? Nothing, right? That's the problem. So the only way that that can be fixed before we take a break and do flip to basketball here, because this is a fascinating topic that we could talk about forever, right? The only way that this plan works for Auburn in conjunction or in competition of what I just laid out for you, right, is if that eventually gets capped.
Sure.
Legally. strictly gets capped. Not a loose cap like we have in Major League Baseball where then you can just pay your way out of it. That's ridiculous. And also cutting down on cheating and paying under the table, which has happened since, you know, college football was born, right? That's the only way that that can be limited and avoided. And so if that does happen, what Auburn is doing is genius because everybody will go to this model.
Correct.
Every program in America will be forced to go to this model. Auburn is...
To go back to what NIL, again, was in the... Not directly, but more in the direction of what it was supposed to be.
Correct. And so Auburn's hope, reading between the lines here, Auburn's hope is that what I just laid out happens, and they're ahead of the curve. They're 3, 4, 5 years ahead of everybody else.
This year, or this... tweet rather, and this day on December 19th, 2025, we'll be able to go back to this show in 2028 or 2029, and that'll have the exact answers that you need.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Somebody, Spectre texts in and says, speaking of 4 stars and below, give me a decent offensive line. I'll give you a 4-star quarterback, a Heisman candidate. Someone also says, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't it already capped at $20 million? Yes.
From what the school pays.
Yes, but that does not count the separate NIL deals. That does not count your revenue sharing. That
and
does
ain't
not
no
count.
Way that big NIL third-party donors work with the school.
Right, exactly. So, yes, technically there's a $20 million cap, but that's through just one avenue. Problem is players are being paid through about 10 different avenues right now, and that's what I'm talking about is trying to get a grasp and a handle on all of that.
Trying to eliminate gray area.
Yeah, basically.
And trying to eliminate all these loopholes that you're seeing right now in college football.
Write it out, print it out, sign it. That's how you fix it. And until the NCAA is not in charge, that's not going to happen. So Auburn is trying to get out in front. Auburn's trying to change the culture right now in hopes that they are ahead of the curve in the next 5 years. That's how I break all of this down. So we'll see how it goes. We'll see what happens. But there is some portal news for Auburn. Again, Jamonta Waller has announced his intention to enter the transfer portal along with Amaris Williams. So two more defensive names have decided that they are leaving Auburn. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we will talk a little basketball as Auburn prepares to take on Purdue. And then in hour two, we're talking the college football playoff, all the games coming up, including Bama and Oklahoma tonight. We talk about all that and more right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7 as we talk a little college basketball as your Auburn Tigers get ready to take on Purdue tomorrow in downtown Indianapolis. They'll be playing at Gainbridge Fieldhouse there in downtown Indy, and it will be a lot of Purdue fans and hopefully some Auburn fans. Again, I don't know anybody personally that's going to this game. Doesn't mean nobody's going, just means that I don't know anybody that's going. And so hopefully some Auburn fans go and cheer on the Tigers in a game where they are almost 10-point underdogs going into it. And sounds like a lot, but I think it could be more, to be honest with you. And I don't want to be a Debbie Downer on this Friday. I just, from what we've seen with Auburn against teams like Purdue, aka Michigan and Arizona, it doesn't give you confidence, right? Not in a game like this where Purdue has two or three guys that are as big or bigger than you. They have Braden Smith, who, again, I think is the best point guard in the country, and they just play a style of basketball that Auburn hasn't been able to stop yet this year.
It feels like one of those matchup nightmares where this isn't one of those games, at least looking at it on paper, that Auburn can just out-talent, right? Or out-AAU ball like you've seen at times with this Auburn team. This Purdue team with Matt Painter, whether or not Jacob thinks they're going to win a national championship, which this is the first time you've talked highly about Purdue in forever.
Oh, Purdue's a very good team. Just wait till they get to the second weekend of the NCAA tournament and they'll lose. Yeah. Matt Painter's still their coach, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they'll lose.
Yes. But, yeah, just when you're looking at...
That was a joke. I know that Matt Painter's still their head coach.
When you're looking at this team and just the way that they play their brand of basketball, averaging 40 rebounds a game. They also shoot 40% from three, but they don't shoot a crazy number. But when they do, Braden Smith shoots 43%, and Fletcher Lawyer, their leading scorer, shoots 47% from three. You also have a couple other guards that shoot the three a little bit more, 43 blocks down low. It's a team that doesn't want to rely on the three. They can speed you up. They can slow you down. It just feels like one of those games where Auburn's going to have to do a lot right. And with the injuries, with the short bench, and with the lack of height, I just fear about Auburn a little bit, right? I mean, we've talked a lot about it. We spent a lot of time talking about it yesterday on the teams in the Big Ten and the Big 12 that put a focus more on basketball than on football or on baseball. You're seeing that work its way into fruition. The ability to keep Braden Smith and keep Trey Kaufman-Rand and keep Oscar Clough. I mean, those three right there are matchup nightmares for just about anybody in the country, and you can see why, as they're the sixth-ranked team in the country.
Yeah, Purdue, again, favored by 9.5. The total is 155.5, so if you're looking at that to be spot on, projected for this to be about 83-73 final score. Purdue to beat Auburn 83-73, give or take. The problem I see here is Auburn has two go-to options offensively, right? You got Tahad and you got Keyshawn Hall. Purdue's got four that they can go to. And Purdue defensively, very, very talented. They held Alabama to 80. They held Memphis to 71. They held Texas Tech to 56. Okay, they held Rutgers to 65. They lost to Iowa State and still only gave up 81 points. They just got blitzed in that game. Held Minnesota to 57 and Marquette to 59. I don't trust Auburn to find a third option, and I trust Purdue to just absolutely shut down as best as they can Keyshawn Hall and Tahad Pettiford.
Purdue's defense leads the Big Ten in a defensive rebounding percentage at over 76%.
Auburn could get dominated on the boards tomorrow. If they are competitive there, they have a chance. And I hope Auburn is competitive. That game at 5:30 tomorrow night, in the middle of a whole lot of other stuff, including the college football playoff. We talk about that and make our picks and predictions coming up in hour number two.
The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what Sports Talk Radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on this free-for-all Friday edition of On the Line. And if you missed any of the first hour of today's show, we covered a lot. We talked about college football playoff with our man Lee Sterling of ParamountSports.com, who gave you his best bets this weekend in the college football playoffs. So I had a conversation with him. Also talked about the latest transfer portal entries for Auburn football. Couple of big names there, and how Auburn's trying to change the direction that it's going with NIL dollars, and how they may be trying to change the standard across college football. We talked about that in the first hour. Also, Auburn basketball taking on Purdue tomorrow, gave our thoughts on that as well. So if you missed any of that or any other parts of our shows, you can always catch up with the podcast version on our station website at ESPNAU.com.
And here in hour number two, we told you about it. We are giving our official college football playoff bracket. We're going to pick all 11 games here in the hour. We'll spend the first half hour talking about the four games this weekend, as those are obviously the most important. At 3:30, we'll talk about the four quarterfinal games. And to wrap up the show, we'll talk about the two semifinal games and give our pick for the national champion as well. We've both already figured out and filled out our bracket. We have not seen each other's brackets quite yet, and so we'll discuss those here in just a little bit. But the phone lines are open throughout hour number two. If you agree, if you disagree, at 334-321-1390, and that's where we go to start hour number two. Anthony, we appreciate you for holding on through the breaks. Happy hour number two. Happy free-for-all Friday.
Thank you very much. How y'all doing?
Doing well. How about yourself?
Pretty good. Got a... couple questions about the basketball and football.
Sure.
On basketball, you had a true freshman last year out of Birmingham area, last name Hunter, and I see I don't know if she's not on the roster, did she transfer or what, but when I look at the stats when Auburn play, I haven't seen her name. Also, I think it would really – would have really helped Auburn this year if Chad Baker-Mazar had stayed. He's really having a good season at USC.
Yeah, he is. He's having a fantastic season at USC. He's got some of the best stats in the Big Ten right now.
Yes, he do. I've seen him once or twice this year. And the last input I want to know is, did the running back from Opelika High get any more offers after this second half of the year, man? He was one of the best backs in the state of Alabama.
Yeah.
CJ Johnson.
CJ Johnson, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know he had committed to UAB, but I was just...
Yeah, appreciate the call. Appreciate you holding on as well, Anthony. Talking about C.J. Johnson, a guy I saw in person twice, a guy that very, very talented.
You didn't see him very clearly, more of a blur.
Yeah, he's just kind of, you know, he was just kind of there, and then he was gone. 6'1", 215 pounds is C.J. Johnson, a guy. I have not seen if he got any more offers or anything, but I – for his sake, I hope so. I hope somebody gives him a chance because that dude is, and he had said he's committed already, but I think that's a guy that could start lower level and then work his way into a P4 role. Absolutely. I mean, and that's, if there's one thing that Opelika is going to have, man, they're going to have a defensive line and they're going to have running backs. Opelika has always had that. And so, C.J. Johnson, dude, he's a baller for sure.
I'm trying to see, because I know UAB was the talk, trying to see if there was the signing as well.
He may be waiting till February.
That's what, I was trying to.
I know, like, UTSA, North Alabama, Kennesaw. I know a lot of them were in on him. I don't know if
he'd be great in that Kennesaw State offense.
Yeah, I don't think he has signed yet. I don't think. If I'm wrong,
according to 24/7, I don't believe. Yeah. Don't believe that he has. I believe for Auburn women's basketball, we are talking about Jordan Hunter, who came from Hewitt Trustful, and as a freshman, played in all 30 games. Trying to see, I believe she is at Memphis now. Trying to get confirmation on that. She is. The 5'8 sophomore. Let's see what she's done so far this year. I have not kept up with her, to be completely honest.
Yeah, and to his point about Chad Baker-Mazara, I mean, play the what-if game here quickly before we talk about football. What would Chad's role on this year's team even be? Like, clearly you would not have gone to get somebody in the portal if Chad Baker was coming back. I think, God, weirdly enough, I mean,
Not even a shot at Chad Baker-Mazzara, but just off the way that this team runs fundamentally, of him being more of that offensive-minded weapon, I don't know the overall benefit. And that is not a shot at Chad Baker-Mazzara. That's not a shot at this team. It's more of the fact of you feel like both parties are at least okay right now. And you hate to say it like that because of Chad Baker-Mazzara. Again, we knew his ability to score the basketball, and you're now seeing it on the West Coast. But you think he's relatively happy right now? And then just, again, the way that this basketball team for Auburn plays a little bit more of the AAU individualized style of basketball. Chad Baker-Mazzara was not the type of guy to go and get you 8 rebounds a contest. Yes, he could be your backup point guard or your 2 guard if needed, which would provide a little bit more offensive firepower, and obviously that would help on the depth side of things, but at least from the stylistic way of playing. But that being said, you talked about it, of having that third scorer. He'd probably be your first, if not your second, scorer, and the 3 of them on the floor at the same time would obviously be a big factor in the benefit of Wayne as well.
Yeah, again, I don't want to sit on this too long, but I don't know who you would have not got in the portal if Chad had come back. I mean, KO,
right?
Weirdly enough. I don't know. I really don't know, but I think that's a great point. And so, so again, we appreciate Anthony for calling in and holding on through the break. Someone texted in, and we mentioned this to start the show. Do want to mention this again, some breaking news in the local high school football world. Brian Moore, the head coach of Opelika, has resigned as the head coach after just 2 seasons at the helm of the Dogs. There are some rumblings of him taking another job. I have not seen confirmed reports. I have a lot of people texting me about it.
We will wait.
Yes, I will wait until that is actually confirmed. But we do know that Brian Moore is stepping down. He has resigned as Opelika's head football coach.
Closing the door, Jordan Hunter averaging 5 points a game, 3 rebounds, 2 assists for Memphis, shooting only 31%.
There you go. So let's talk about the college football playoffs, which, by the way, can be heard all 4 games right here on ESPN 106.7. So if you are a football on the radio type of person, or you're driving around this weekend knocking out that Christmas shopping, doing whatever you are doing, if you're out back, if you're wrapping gifts, if you're grilling, I don't care what you're doing, turn on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and that Radio Alabama app, because we have all 4 playoff games, including the one tonight, here on ESPN 106.7. And we are picking the games for this weekend. We're also filling out our brackets. So we'll be treating this kind of like we do the NCAA basketball tournament. We'll be picking some games that are hypotheticals, but kind of quickly doing that down the stretch of today's show, but spending more time on the games that we know. And do we want to go in order of when they're happening or order of how they are in the bracket? Christian, I'll leave it up to you.
We'll start with what we had on the Google Doc sheet of spending, since we're already 11 minutes into this segment. Start with the Oregon, James Madison, Tulane, Ole Miss game, take an early break and come back and have the full segment on the game tonight and the game tomorrow.
Well, I need about 20 minutes to convince you why James Madison's going to win, so.
You could give me a reason. Let me hear it. I know you have it planned out, so yeah, here we go. Give it to me.
No. I have had some people
trying to predict that you had pocket kings and you had a 7 and a 2.
Yeah. I've won on 7-2 before. I've had some people. Most people are in
for
the boat.
Cheeseburger.
Yeah. Most people are in the boat of Oregon's going to win. Oregon's going to crush them. The 3 touchdown favorites taken to win by 40. And I've pretty much been there all week myself. But as we get closer to this game, this is the night game tomorrow night, James Madison and Oregon, which that in itself is a crime, but it is what it is. Nobody will watch it.
I do realize why they ended up having to do it, because if they wanted to make that the early game, that would have been, what, an 8 or a 9 o'clock kickoff in Eugene?
They could have done it the mid-afternoon game. Sure. They could have made that the 2:30 Central, which would have been, what, a noon or 11:30 kick out there. That would have been fine. Oregon fans just crying. Whatever. Anyway, but as we get closer to this game, I'm starting to hear some more rumblings from people that believe James Madison keeps this close and makes this interesting. I will believe it when I see it. I think Oregon is legit. The only way that James Madison covers a 3-touchdown spread is if Oregon pulls their starters, including Dante Moore, in the 4th quarter, and James Madison scores a late touchdown backdooring their way into a cover. I like Oregon to win. I think they'll throw it all over the yard. I think people are not talking enough about the Oregon defense, especially their defensive line that loves to get after the quarterback. I think James Madison has a long night ahead of themselves in Eugene. Give me Oregon to win and cover.
Oh.
Don't overthink it.
Alonzo Barnett is a really good quarterback, but he's not going to be able to sit in the pocket for very long. As you were mentioning, it never rains in Autzen. You don't really lose in Autzen either. I did see that this dropped under 21.
Did it really?
I think right now it's 20.5, and if that's the case,
that means people are sprinkling some on the Dukies.
For a little bit more confidence, I will not say that the Dukies, I will not pick them to cover. I think that as much as people don't want this to be a good game, but also somewhat hope that it is for the drama purpose, I'm sure there have been plenty of phone calls with Dan Lanning about head coaches, and it has been a very simple message of, please go out and prove why James Madison should not be in the college football playoff, and why Notre Dame or why BYU or why Vanderbilt should. Please, Dan Lanning, go do what you need to do to make this an ugly game, and I think that's what it's going to be.
I think so. I think Oregon wins, and they win big. Do you want to pick Ole Miss Tulane now, or do you want to go to break and then come back? Three games in one segment is kind of hard for us. Our timing skills are not all that great. I know we went a little long to start the hour, so
I will keep this one relatively simple as well.
Okay.
Obviously, I think Ole Miss looks a little bit different without Lane Kiffin, but when you have Trinidad Chambliss, you have Kawan Lacy, I think their offense is a little bit too high-powered. I do think Tulane is ready to play, and I think that it's going to be a close game at halftime. I'm going to take Tulane to cover with the points, but I'll take Ole Miss to advance.
See, everybody has said that right there. Take Tulane to cover 17.5, but take Ole Miss to win. And I've been in the exact same boat. I like Ole Miss to win, but just to be different, I think Ole Miss will roll. Why not? Ole Miss comes in. The players are still there, right? I know there was some Trinidad Chambliss drama, but come on. They're going to play. They're going to win. And Ole Miss is the much, much, much better football team here. Oxford's going to be crazy tomorrow. Cannot wait to see that atmosphere, 2:30 inside of Vaught Hemingway Stadium. Give me Ole Miss to win. I think they win by 3 touchdowns by it's all said and done. So the two favorites to win and to win big for us. But the two games that everybody – you know what? For college football's sake, I don't know, maybe not for the G. I was going to say I want those games to be good, but – I don't want that for the G5's sake. I don't want them to have any argument here.
No,
I was
going
to say, because nobody's talked about, everybody's done exactly what we've done is, okay, I think Oregon's going to win. Oh, I think Ole Miss is going to win. All right, let's talk Bama, Oklahoma. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's been that way because unless you're a fan of one of those teams, nobody cares. Nobody cares about Oregon, James Madison. You know why? They're all going to be watching my Packers beat up on the Bears again tomorrow night and also be listening and watching to Auburn basketball tomorrow night. That's what they're doing. Guarantee, book it.
It's just it's that, and then it's just the fact of, I mean, what history has told us. Even going back to last year, where the closest round one game was Notre Dame by 10 points.
They were all blowouts.
Yeah.
So.
And now you get rid of the automatic bye where Boise State was in the Fiesta Bowl waiting for Penn State, who just destroyed SMU. Unless something crazy happens, which. From a college football standpoint, I guess, yeah, as you're mentioning, you could hope happens, but
keep that point in mind, by the way, of how this year's format is different than last year's format. Because I have points to make about that when we're making our full bracket predictions. So keep that in mind. Put a pin in that. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about Miami and Texas A&M, which kicks things off tomorrow, and Alabama-Oklahoma, which kicks things off tonight in the college football playoff. All that coming up here on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, making our college football playoff predictions. We picked Oregon and James Madison. We picked Ole Miss and Tulane. But now the two games that everybody seems to be fired up for, Christian, and I think we start with tonight's game. I think we start with what is coming up in about 3.5 hours. Again, can be heard here on ESPN 106.7. All four college football playoff games can be heard here this weekend. It's Alabama and it's Oklahoma. The Crimson Tide and the Sooners Part 2. And there's been a lot of conversation about how Alabama turned the football over the first time and special teams could be a big factor here. And if Alabama plays better, they should win and they're the better team. I don't know. Oklahoma favored by about 1.5. We talked to Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports in hour number one. This spread has flipped and flopped pretty much every single day. Can Alabama get revenge and return the favor after losing to Oklahoma in Tuscaloosa in the regular season? Can the Crimson Tide go to Norman tonight and pull off the upset?
So much of this determines on Ty Simpson's health, right? You feel like you've heard all week long that throughout the back half of the season, he's been battling a couple injuries and some that have taken a big toll, and whether you want to say that that's just, it is what it is, or that's just gamesmanship, when you look at stats and you look at the way that Ty Simpson was playing the first 7 games of the season, you feel like that makes a whole lot of sense off of how he has played over the back half of the year. And that's just, it's a little too concerning for me. You also bring in the DeBoer drama because neither him nor Dillingham have opened the conversation or opened Pandora's box, but they dang sure haven't really closed it either. Both are very vague of, I haven't talked to anybody. Nope, I'm here. We're good. But you know that Michigan is going to get one of those guys. And for all you know, they're waiting until tonight at midnight to make a decision. If Alabama moves on, it might be Dillingham. But if Alabama loses, if you're Michigan, you make DeBoer say no.
Are you willing to make that prediction? Do you think that's it?
Do I
you
do.
Truly, you think that's what happens
I
here?
I think that you could wake up on Saturday morning, and I think that there's an answer. I think if Alabama wins, I think that they go on the route of Kenny Dillingham. I guess it could be one more week, too.
I was about to say, if Michigan is so dead set on DeBoer, would they wait another week and see if Alabama were to lose to...
You need to get an answer by January 2nd, by the portal.
Yeah.
That's when you need to have an answer. And so I guess if that's the case, they would play.
Well, they play January 1st against Indiana in the Rose Bowl.
Could
that,
you
they play that they play that afternoon.
Imagine if the answer is that night on January 1st and the portal opens the next morning.
Have you seen the name that has started to gain some momentum in the Michigan job? Kyle Whittingham. Did you see his comments about
basically
leaving
him
Utah?
Saying that he's in the transfer portal now? Yeah, that his time was done at Utah.
Which is so
Holy
crazy.
Cow,
I thought he was going to retire. I mean, he had been there for almost 20 years, and I was like, all right, maybe he's just hanging it up and whatever. But sounds like Kyle Whittingham's a free agent, and he's starting to gain a little momentum. It's still DeBoer and Dillingham, but Whittingham, that's funny. Didn't think about that. He's starting to gain a little momentum there. So that's fascinating. I think you very well could be on to something there.
I think that this game will determine everything. I would not be surprised if tonight at midnight or tomorrow morning you wake up with news.
So does that impact how Alabama plays?
It does.
And you think that means Oklahoma wins?
I think R. Mason is going to be the best player on the football field. And if Ty Simpson is injured and you try to do everything you can to keep him healthy, you combine that and combat that with the inability to run the football, which teams don't really do successfully anyway against Oklahoma. Ty Simpson had over 300 passing yards against OU, but they were still able to get it done with turnovers. I think the place is going to be absolutely chaotic. I wouldn't be surprised if John Mateer has a pretty solid day with his legs. Give me a score that is just about as similar as the last game, but I don't think it necessarily plays out the same way of Alabama sitting there pointing at the turnovers. I think Oklahoma looks like the better football team. Give me the Sooners 24-20.
Wow. Look, Oklahoma's defense is legit, and people are not talking enough about it for whatever reason. That defensive line is nasty. You mentioned R. Mason. He is legit. He's one of the best players in the SEC.
And he didn't play in the first matchup.
Which is a fantastic point. Alabama, in their last four P4 games offensively, averaging 19 points a game. Their offense is bad, dude. They can't run the ball. Ty Simpson's not 100%. And Georgia put on a masterclass defensively of how to stop this Alabama team. And Brent Venables and Oklahoma are going to copy and paste that tonight. I really do think so. I like
with Oklahoma. A better pass rush.
I've been today. I've wanted to pick Alabama for whatever reason. I think because more people are starting to do it. I've been on Oklahoma since the bracket came out. Give me Oklahoma, and give me Oklahoma to win by 10. I like 30-20 Oklahoma tonight to win at home. Make it comfortable in the fourth quarter. Alabama will have a couple of chances. They'll screw it up because that's what Ty Simpson does. I think Oklahoma wins. I like them to win by 10. Give me 30-20 Oklahoma. The Sooners will go to the Rose Bowl to play Indiana.
Well, there we go. We have a few minutes before we dive into some of the quarterfinal matchups.
Again, filling out our college football playoff brackets.
And again, as of right now, we're all the same except I have Tulane covering, you have Ole Miss covering. That's the only the only difference so far, because with us both picking Oklahoma, I would imagine we pick them by more than 1.5 if that's where the line
unless
stays.
Unless you want to get real nitty-gritty and say that Oklahoma wins but Bama covers.
That would be
the 1.5 point wild spread. I mean, they only won by 2 last time.
Yeah.
So
that would be absolutely insane.
That'd be crazy.
Miami and Texas A&M, the 11 o'clock game tomorrow morning. Kyle Field, College Station, you feel like it's a crime that this is the early game just based off of the environment. And I know that you can't base everything off of that, but more so just from a college football standpoint of a fanatic that I am of the sport as a whole. Kyle Field is going to be rocking, but nothing like it would at 2:30 or 6:30 or even 8 o'clock. Can Carson Beck be welcomed back into the SEC with a little bit of love, or is it Carson Pick in a big game once again?
You know me, man. I hate this game. I hate this game, and I hope
it's a win-win for you. Why should you hate it? Because you can.
It's also
you
a lose-lose because one of these teams has to win. That's the problem.
Sure, but you just that doesn't matter. You, as a today's day and age, you just hammer the one that you were right about.
Yeah, and I. Not to be that dude, but I'm right about both of these teams. I have a good feeling. I don't trust Miami. I don't trust Carson Beck. I don't trust Mario Cristobal. I think they belonged in the playoff. I just don't think they are good enough to go very far or even win a game. I'm picking Texas A&M, who's good, but they're not great. But they're good enough to beat Miami. Don't overthink this. Miami is not good enough to run with A&M for four quarters. A&M can put up 40 on just about anybody. Miami can't put 20 on themselves, okay? I think Texas A&M wins. I think they win in a dramatic game, but I think Marcel Reed goes absolutely off in this game. Give me Texas A&M to win in Kyle Field. Carson Beck throws 2+ picks in this game also.
I'll give my pick on the other side.
Okay. I like A&M. I think they win. I think Miami is good enough to get there, and that's all they'll have. We'll pick this game again. And then fill out the rest of our bracket for the college football playoff right after this.
We're halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. And we're making our picks for the college football playoff. We picked the first round games from tonight and tomorrow, but now we get to fill out our brackets like it's March. We haven't got to do this in a while on what we think will happen in the quarterfinals, the semifinals, and, of course, the national championship game. And we'll be on the air between now and a lot of these games, of course. To remind folks quickly of our holiday schedule, the show is on Monday and Tuesday. Off Wednesday, Christmas Eve through Thursday, New Year's Day. So Monday and Tuesday, the show was on the air. We're all off. All three shows were off Wednesday, Christmas Eve through Thursday, New Year's Day. All three shows, the Max Roundtable, On the Line, and The Drive, are all back on Friday, January 2nd, which is perfect timing because we can talk about the quarterfinal round. You'll have a chance to hear some breakdown from the first round next week. Then we'll be able to break down the quarterfinals and preview, of course, the semifinals and the national championship game, plus the transfer portal opens that day. SEC basketball starts the next day. January 2nd will be incredible to be back on the air. But I guess I didn't say this, but I am out after this. Today is my last day of the
ever.
Ever. Dun, dun, dun. No, I'm going out of town. I'm on Christmas break after this. So Christian's going to hold down the fort on Monday and Tuesday, and he's got some guests lined up and some fun conversations. But, yeah, this is my last show. I'll see you next year.
See you in 2026.
Oh, my God, I'll see you. Yeah, whatever. I will be back, though, on Friday, January 2nd. But, yeah, this is my final show of the year. Christian, again, he'll be on the air Monday and Tuesday. He'll be talking about the first round games that are this weekend. But let's fill out our brackets, my friend. We both have Oregon and Texas Tech playing in the quarterfinal round of the college football. Oh, yo, you got to pick Notre Dame and or Miami
Notre
and
Dame.
Texas A&M.
Whoa.
Hey-o. Yep. Sorry, you got to pick Miami.
Suck on that, and, Irish.
Yeah. You got to pick Miami, Texas A&M, since you've built up the dramatics for 10 minutes now. So I picked Texas A&M. I just think they're the better team.
I'll build up dramatics.
I'm picking the better team, the better quarterback, and the better coach. It's not that hard.
And for that reason,
I'm out.
I will go the same way. I wish that I had a bigger feeling. I do think that Mark Fletcher can be an impact player for this team. I think that Miami's defensive line could play a big factor. That being said, both defensive lines are, I believe, top 12 nationally in a whole bunch of categories. And I think this is going to come down to throwing the football. And I think that A&M has the ability to cover up arguably my favorite player in college football, Malachi Toney, a little bit more than other ACC cornerbacks have. When you have multiple different weapons like Marcel Reed does, and I called him a top five quarterback in the SEC for the 2025 season, which was very much a unpopular pick, but there's no reason in me going away from that now. I will pick Marcel Reed over Carson Beck to get the job done and at home in College Station. As much as I have gone back and forth, I feel like I'm at the same standpoint that you are, for better or for worse, of don't overthink this game.
Yeah, don't overthink it. It's Miami and Texas A&M, and we're both taking Texas A&M to get it done. Okay, let's work.
And I'll take A&M to cover from that standpoint of the 3.5 or whatever.
Yeah, I will too. Yeah, I'll take that as well. Okay, let's work bottom to top now in the quarterfinals, because that is in chronological order of how those games will be played. It will be Ohio State, who is in the Cotton Bowl, awaiting the winner of Miami and Texas A&M. If Miami, for whatever reason, beats A&M, do they have any chance against Ohio State?
No.
But we both have Texas A&M. Who is the favorite?
My answer is still no.
My answer is still no also. Yeah. My answer is still no. I think Ohio State is obviously very, very good. And when they need to turn it on, when Ryan Day, as he typically does, decides, you know what? Maybe we should score a little bit. You know, I guess we'll let Julian Sain throw it around. Oh, yeah, we do have some good receivers on this team. When they turn it on,
we do have the best running back name in college football.
When they turn it on, nobody can stop them. And I think Ohio State and Texas A&M could put up 100 points in that game. But I will take the Buckeyes. That game on New Year's Eve, by the way, that is the New Year's Eve game, December 31st in the Cotton Bowl. Ohio State taking on either Texas A&M or Miami. We both have Texas A&M to be playing the Buckeyes, but it sounds like we both have the Buckeyes to get this thing done.
We do, and I believe the imaginary line or the future line would be the Buckeyes by 7.5. I would take Ohio State by that number.
It's not bad. Texas A&M's defense could keep it interesting because
I think
they're
front four or maybe their front seven can, but I don't think they've been tested with the receiver core that
I don't either, but
Ohio State has.
Indiana sacked Julian Sain 5 times. who had only been sacked 6 times going into the Big Ten championship game. Indiana got home 5 times. I think Indiana's defensive line is better than A&M's, but A&M's still pretty darn good. They could keep it interesting, but I agree. I think Ohio State would beat Texas A&M in the quarterfinals. We move on to the All-State Sugar Bowl, where Georgia is awaiting. We'll just go top to or bottom to top. It's fine. Georgia is awaiting the winner of Ole Miss and Tulane. We both have Ole Miss to play that game for what would be the 3rd rematch in the college football playoffs. Can Ole Miss pull it off without Lane Kiffin? Can they beat Kirby Smart and the Dogs in the All-State Sugar Bowl on New Year's Day night if that matchup were to occur?
It's the 3rd rematch in the college football playoff, and it's the 3rd result that ends the exact same way it did in the regular season. I think Georgia wins this one comfortably.
Yeah, I do too. I don't think Ole Miss can stop Georgia, and I think their defense will get after Chambliss. And I think this will be the game you see the coaching difference without Lane Kiffin. Kirby Smart beats Ole Miss when he was there. He's going to destroy Ole Miss without him there. That's the way that I look at this. And so I like Georgia to win in that game. How about the number 1 seed in the college football playoff? The Indiana Hoosiers with the Heisman Trophy winner at quarterback, Fernando Mendoza, in the historic Rose Bowl out in Pasadena on New Year's Day, taking on either Alabama or Oklahoma. We both picked Oklahoma to beat the Tide, which means the Sooners would travel out to the Rose Bowl, a battle of the different shades of red. Who do you have, the Sooners or the Hoosiers?
The imaginary line for this one, I believe I have seen, is Indiana, if it was Oklahoma, who we both have, Indiana by 9.5. Over the Sooners. I think a running quarterback, if that's the case, in John Mateer would keep that a little bit closer, and maybe the pass rush a little bit on Fernando Mendoza if needed. That being said, Mendoza, you just add the running ability as a plus. He doesn't necessarily have to. Multiple weapons in the backfield, multiple weapons out wide, especially if Omar Cooper and Elijah Surratt are both healthy. I will take Indiana to maybe box score viewer-wise win this one comfortably, but it may not feel like it if you watch the 60 minutes.
I talked a little bit ago about Indiana's defensive line and just how good they are, sacking Julian Sayin 5 times in the Big Ten championship game. Hoosiers are without star defensive tackle Stephen Daly, who was 3rd in the country in TFLs. He is out for the year. He's the one who, if you saw the video of him celebrating after the championship game, high-fiving folks in the end zone, who jumped up and landed awkwardly on his leg and is out for the year. So that's unfortunate. But I think Indiana is still really solid up front. John Mateer has been sacked 20 times this year. That's averaging about 1.5 sacks per game that Oklahoma is giving up. I think Indiana could double that, if not triple it. I think the Hoosiers are way too good offensively. They can run it. They can throw it. They can pretty much do whatever they want to. I like Indiana to win that game comfortably over Oklahoma. I would take them to win. I'd take them to cover, man. Kurt Cignetti, with this team and this playoffs, with both coordinators secured for 3 more seasons there in Bloomington, I think they would absolutely roll Oklahoma. That's my prediction on New Year's Day in the Rose Bowl. And then we get to the top in a game that I have wrestled with all week. I don't know. Knowing that we were going to make our bracket predictions today, if Oregon beats James Madison, they would take on Texas Tech in the quarterfinals. That game would start it all on New Year's Day. First game is New Year's Eve with Ohio State. The first game on New Year's Day would be Texas Tech in the Orange Bowl, awaiting most likely Oregon. And man, these are 2 fascinating teams to me. Fascinating. And I love both of their defenses. I love both of their offenses. And I really love Dan Lanning. I do. I love Dan Lanning so much. And Oregon has been on my mind. But I did one more deep dive into the defensive comparisons here, and something jumps off the page to me about Texas Tech. You realize, Christian, that Texas Tech, all season long, has given up more than 20 points, okay? They've given up more than 20 points one time. 20 or more points twice. They gave up 20 to Kansas State when they beat them 43-20. Texas Tech did against Kansas State. They gave up 26 points to Arizona State and still only lost by 4. That tells me the offense failed him in that game, which they did. Other than that, 14, 14, 10, 11, 17, 0, 7, 9, 0, 7. Texas Tech's defense is absolutely nasty. And I think Dante Moore is a very good quarterback. I think Dan Lanning is an awesome play caller. I think he's an awesome motivator. I think he's one of the best coaches in the country. But people are disrespecting this Texas Tech team. Not to mention the fact that they're averaging 30 to 40 points a game offensively. Don't overthink it. I'm going Texas Tech.
Wow.
If they are to play Oregon in the quarterfinals on New Year's Day, I'm taking Texas Tech.
The Red Raiders to get it done, who we both talked about before the season started. We thought the hype was a year too early.
We were wrong.
We were wrong. 12-1, you win the Big 12 championship in dominating fashion over BYU.
They'll still be good next year, too. Don't worry.
Oh, well, you have, what are they, the top-ranked class, or right behind USC for the top class in 2027, and that oil money speaks different out there for Texas Tech. Baron Morton is obviously an incredible quarterback. When you look at Cameron Dickey, you look at Jacoby Williams, the two running backs for Texas Tech, who have more than 1,800 yards between the two of them, also 20 rushing touchdowns in there as well. A receiving core that doesn't necessarily have the overall star. You have Caleb Douglas, yes, who is the senior who leads the team in receptions and also touchdowns. But when you look down, I mean, 850 yards, almost 700 yards, more than 600 yards, 550 yards, almost 400 yards. I mean, this is a team that can go to anybody on any given day. I think Oregon is the more dynamic, the more high-powered offense. But if Oregon gets behind, I think Texas Tech has the better ability to sustain drives. And I wish you picked it otherwise, because I have Texas Tech as well.
So I have, in my semifinals, Texas Tech versus Indiana, and I have Georgia versus Ohio State. And
same
you have
me.
The same.
Yeah.
And I told you earlier in the show, because of something you said, the difference in formatting from the college football playoff last year to the college football playoff this year, what's the big difference?
The four best teams are playing college football at the end of the year.
The top four teams are the four best teams, unlike it was a year ago. And I think the four best teams are the top four seeds, and I think that they make it to the semifinals. Don't overthink it. That's the way that I've looked at it. There's a reason those teams statistically are dominant compared to the others in this field.
Well, it's the fear that NIL has become for college athletics. I mean, look at college basketball last year, right? All four one seeds were in the Final Four because those were the four best teams in college basketball. Not that NIL was everything in that standpoint, but I think you're going to see a little bit more of that work its way into fruition, and I think it plays out here in the semifinals.
We'll make our picks for the semifinals and the national championship game right after this and wrap it up here on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Got a couple of minutes before we are done, and then the drive will take over for a couple of hours before the college football playoff will take over with Alabama and Oklahoma tonight to kick things off in the college football playoff. Live from Norman, we'll have that radio broadcast for you here on ESPN 106.7. So quickly here, Christian, we have the top four teams making it to the semifinals. So not a whole lot of dramatics in. Did we have any differences in our bracket? We didn't have a single difference.
The only difference as of now, because we don't have the true official lines, is the fact that I have Tulane covering and you have Ole Miss covering. That's the one difference so far.
Yeah. Well, it is what it is.
Based off of our year-long picks, I don't see that being too big of a surprise.
No, and so Texas Tech and Indiana in the semifinal, Georgia and Ohio State in the semifinal game. We'll make this quick. We've already kind of done our deep dive on each individual team and things, and so I'm taking Indiana. I think Fernando Mendoza is just that dude at quarterback. I think the Hoosiers have enough on the outside. They've dominated people all year. There's a reason they're the first seed. They'll have their struggles with Texas Tech. But in terms of trusting an offense, I'll trust the Hoosiers over the Red Raiders. So I'll take Indiana to beat Texas Tech, which we'll be here to talk about these games, whatever the matchups are. But just in my bracket, I have Indiana beating Texas Tech to get to the national championship game.
For the standpoint of dramatics, from the standpoint of nobody talking about them all year.
Sure.
I have Texas Tech.
Okay.
Playing in the national championship, this being my one big upset of the year, of the bracket. At least, don't necessarily have an overdramatic reason as to why, other than the fact that I think this Texas Tech defense is really, really good. I think that their offense is more than capable of putting together lengthy drives if they need to ice the game if they're out in front. And I'll say this is the one game that Mendoza struggles.
Okay. Then we both had Georgia and Ohio State in the other semifinal. And when filling out my bracket before today's show, I struggled with this game. I did, because going against Kirby Smart at Georgia is not smart. But at the end of the day, what's been my motto here in this bracket? Don't overthink it. Ohio State's the better team in every aspect. Better quarterback, better offensive line, better defensive line, better receivers, better linebackers, better DBs, better coaching, for the most part, okay? Don't overthink it. Ohio State. I'm taking Ohio State to beat Georgia, and I'm going to double down. The Hoosiers got Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game. That's cool. But Ohio State's going to turn it on when they have to play Texas A&M, and just like they did a year ago, they're not going to turn it off. Ohio State, back-to-back national champions. Book it.
I have this game also as my winner also wins the national championship with Georgia and Ohio State.
Are you claiming that no matter who wins, you think the winner of Georgia, Ohio State wins it all?
I do.
Okay.
I think the winner of this game wins the college football playoff national championship. Georgia plays a very physical brand of football. There's not too many teams that can match it. And Kirby Smart has done a fantastic job all year long of adapting his defense to play the same type of defense that we've known Georgia to play for the entire longevity of Kirby Smart's career at Georgia. But over the past couple of years, he's done it with big-time names at the linebacker spot and really, really big names in the DB spot. Georgia has not been challenged the way that Ohio State will challenge them. I think Ohio State could dominate the running game because of the difference that Carnell Tate and Jeremiah Smith make for this team. I have Ohio State taking down the dogs, and then I have Ohio State beating Texas Tech. I have that final 31-20.
Yeah, so we'll see. It all starts tonight in the college football playoff. Again, Alabama, Oklahoma tonight here on ESPN 106.7. And then all three games, a triple header tomorrow on 106.7. So tune in however you want to or whatever you're up to. Be sure you have it locked in right here on 106.7. We are done for the day. The show is back Monday and Tuesday. Christian will be here with you. I am out. I am done for the holidays. I am heading out of town. Literally, as soon as we turn off the microphones, I'm hopping in the truck and hitting the road. So I am out until we are back full-time on January 2nd. So he's got you Monday and Tuesday. All of the shows are on the same schedule. Off Wednesday, December 24th through Thursday, January 1. All shows back on January 2nd. So looking forward to a little bit of time off. Looking forward to some awesome sporting events, including Auburn basketball tomorrow on Wings 94.3 against Purdue. So Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, appreciate you all, and looking forward to coming back on January 2nd.
Yeah, and again, as stressful as this time is, don't take it for granted. Tell everybody that you love them.
Yep. All right, you're back on Monday, Christian. 2-4 right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Have a good weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday. Yeah, we'll talk to you Monday. I'll talk to you later whenever I decide to come back. All right. Take it easy. We're out of here.